Father, we just come before you in the matchless, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood that never changes. Thank you for your heart that's always toward us. And tonight, God, we just want to give you honor and praise. We're coming in the name. We're coming in the name. And everything that the enemy has tried to steal, Lord, you're just restoring sevenfold, God. I just thank you for your mercy, your goodness, your love, your power. Father, forgive us for looking at circumstances and getting down. Father, we just want to lift you up, lift your word up, because you never fail, you never quit, you're never stopping. And God, if you be for us, who can be against us? We just want to honor you in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about what the Lord wants to share tonight. And it's exciting. If you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, I want to talk to you tonight about the flesh versus the spirit. The flesh versus the spirit. Now, we know that we're a three-part being. You know, we are a spirit. That's who we really are. We have a soul that makes up our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we have the flesh. And the flesh is what is contrary to the spirit. We're going to see that tonight. But we want to see clearly is that living in the spirit is what gives you control over the flesh. Not the other way around. I used to think that if I just did it hard enough, if I just prayed enough, if I just fasted enough, if I just witnessed enough, if I just did something enough, then God would be pleased and I could be more spiritual if I did something. And we're going to see tonight really clearly that that is absolutely coming out of grace and going back into the law, and the law is not going to get you anywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Galatians chapter 5, we're just going to start in the first verse and go through this. Galatians chapter 5 was the first Bible study that I ever went to, was on this particular chapter. So it means a lot to me, and we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just guide us and lead us and direct us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. First verse, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Just in the first verse, it's so cool. He says, stand fast. What does that mean? That means something's going to try to pull you in a different direction. Have you ever seen those hurricane weathermen that are out there and they got the coats and everything on and they're leaning into the wind and trying to report? They're standing fast against the wind. They're trying to hold themselves up against the onslaught of things that are coming at us. And what's coming at the church at Galatia that Paul was absolutely talking about was the fact that there were people that came in and said, yes, you're saved and you got saved by grace, but in order to be really saved, then you have to follow the tenets of the Jewish law. And he says, man, no, you got to stand fast against that. In an earlier verse, he says, you foolish Galatians. My version, you stupid idiots. Who's bewitched you? In other words, who's tricked you? Who's put you under a spell that has drawn you back to that type of thinking? Verse 2 says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, he's not saying that, you know, all those that are circumcised, forget it, you're out. What he's saying is to the Gentile church here, if you now have been saved through faith in Jesus and you start to do rituals to try to become clean and better, it's going to profit you nothing. And Jesus won't profit you anything. I'm going to make a statement that again, I'm not the judge, but I think it's dangerous to add to the grace of God. In other words, if I'm saved by grace, and then you take on this attitude, yeah, I'm saved by grace, but I need to do this, and I need to do that, and I need to do that. If if I'm really going to get God to love me, then I have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. And you see, that's the reality, is that some of those things might be good to do, but those things aren't going to make you more right with God, because the blood of Jesus is enough. In other words, I'm saved by grace, and grace is simply God's riches at Christ's expense. God doing what he wanted to do and handing it to us as a free gift. And the way that we receive that gift is simply by saying, I believe it's for me. I believe that you said it to me, and I take it in Jesus' name. But then if you say, well, I'm going to do that, but I know that that can't be enough, because I really got to get back into what I can do, what I can't do. And so I need to pray this long, and I need to, you know, do these rituals, and I need to come back under this law and that law. If you do that, you've come back under bondage. And God says, you're free from that. You're free from that. So don't let anybody else talk you into, okay, you're saved, but if you'd say this a certain way, or if you'd baptize this way, or if you'd come into my, you know, you've been saved, that's true, but your church isn't the right church, and you need to come to my church in order for you to really be saved. What you need to do there is just blow them raspberries, right? Just blow them raspberries and say, I don't think so. I'm not going to enter back into the bondage that you're trying to put me in, because Jesus has set me free. Come on. And in freedom, we're going to see this in a minute, but in freedom, there's joy, there's peace, there's life, there's liberty. Right? But if you'll see it, and you go back under the bondage of some of the things that people want to put you in, it brings depression. It brings oppression. It brings everything that God has already set us free from. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. In other words, here's the deal. Here's the law, and what the law showed us is that nobody is capable of doing the law to get right with God. Because all of us have fallen short. All of us, you know, make mistakes. All of us do that. But he's saying here, if you want to do that, say that you want to keep one particular part of the law, and say, by doing that, I'm more holy than somebody that doesn't, then what you're saying is that I'm under all of it. And that's a tough place to be. In fact, that's bondage again, and that's what he wants to keep us out of. Verse 4 says, and you become estranged from Christ. That is a powerful statement. If you go back into that, you have to say this, or you have to do that, or, you know, if you don't observe this holiday, or if you don't do this, and if you don't, you know, you only eat certain foods, and if you don't do all of the washings and all of that that were prescribed under the law, if all you men who, Gentiles who aren't circumcised, unless you become circumcised, then you can't really be saved. What you've done is you just put yourself back under the bondage of all of the law. And when you get under that, you're estranged from Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, look, you came to the Lord, and you came to the knowledge of the Lord by accepting Christ as the one who took your place. But when you get back and say, no, I know that you did that for me, but now I know that I've got to do this, this, and this, and this in order to be right. What you said is, Jesus, you stand over there. I got this. You've been estranged from them. And it's kind of like, wait a minute. So what's our response? Our response every day is waking up, Lord, I'm coming for your mercy again. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I come believing that Jesus is my Savior, and there's no way to be in your presence without his blood covering me. But I thank you that I have it. I've made mistakes, God. I ask you to forgive me of those. But I'm trusting completely in the one who saved me. Not my works or my lack of works, as we're going to see, in Jesus' name. Verse 5 says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What's he saying? Right now, we live in a world where we're saved and we know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We know that we're right with God and that he loves us and all of that. But we still go through the pressure of being in a world that's influenced by sin. We have struggles. We have, you know, bodies hurt sometimes. Finances get all messed up. All of that. We still have that struggle. So we're waiting eagerly for the day when Jesus returns, he sets up the eternal kingdom, and we forever and ever will be in his presence, and there'll be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more debt, no more, you know, backbiting, no, none of that. That won't be there. There's coming a day when all of the effects of sin will be taken care of. The Bible even says in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation is groaning for the revelation of the sons of men. What it's saying? It's saying that even the animal kingdom knows that the world is under a curse. And that curse was brought in by Adam rebelling against God. But there's coming a day when that rebellion is going to be burned away and Jesus is going to come and everything is going to be made right. And so that the lion can lay down with the lamb and they won't be struggling for food and you won't, that's what we're eagerly waiting for. I don't know about you, I'm waiting for the day when Jesus calls me home and I'm seeing him face to face. I mean, that is going to be exciting, but that's not even the end part. The end part is when he comes back for his church, he's going back. Then he's coming back to set up his millennial reign here on the earth. And the Bible says that we'll be with him back on the earth. Heaven is going to be on earth. And in many very various places, I think. But the point is that this earth is messed up. And I'm you know, really down with being a good steward of the earth and taking care of things and all of that. But the reality is that this earth is going to get a do-over. Climate change isn't going to take it out. Global warming, you know, that's not going to take it out. Famine is not going to take it out. God knew what he was doing. He knew how many people would be on the earth at what time. And he's put inside of the earth everything that's needed to take care of every person that's ever lived or that ever will live. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do things to curb pollution and do all of that. I'm all for all that. But the reality is, I know that this world in 12 years, if Jesus hasn't come back, is still going to be here, still going to be going strong. There's no problem with that because God is the one who sustains us. Amen? Hallelujah. And verse 6 says this, for in Christ Jesus, how many are in Christ Jesus? Right? How do you get in Christ Jesus? By faith. By saying, listen, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I can't be right with God on my own efforts. I need a Savior, so I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And the moment that you do that, you're in him. That means you're covered by him. You're absolutely within him. You get a new uniform, right? You wear different clothes. You have a different stance. You're in the army of the King. Hallelujah. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith. In other words, if you're Jewish or if you're a Gentile or if you're a male or if you're a female or if you've studied the word all of your life or you haven't studied it for 10 minutes, none of that is what gets you to the place where you're righteous before God. There's only one thing. And that's faith working through love. Watch this. It means that I believe that God is who he said he is, and he'll do what he said he'd do. And in that, watch this, that he will absolutely keep his word and his promises. In other words, I have no proof that my sins are forgiven. I don't. I mean, I have no proof that when I die, I'm going to be in heaven. I have zero proof of that. I can't say, well, just come over here, come to my house. I got these documents. I got this, you know, I got this video to show you and prove to you. I don't have that, but what I do have is an assurance in my heart that His word is true. And I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. But watch this. I love this particular verse. And I've got to keep going. But this verse is but faith working through love. Here's what I believe. I believe that more that we know God's love and the more that we can walk with the assurance that He loves me and He's not mad at me and He's not against me and He's not up there saying, well, let's see what Bruce does today. Right? If he doesn't do it right, I'm going to take him out. Right? Or if you know, oh, I'm going to give him an attaboy today based on my actions, then I'm in trouble. But that's not what He's doing. He wants to give me a revelation of that, for God so loved the world, that's Bruce, that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, when I grow in that assurance of that love, then my confidence in what He said will grow. So my faith works by the revelation of love. In fact, in John, it says this, it says, perfect love, or love that's been brought to its maturity, casts out fear. Why is that? Because when you know that God's for you, God's on your side, what do you have to be afraid of? Nothing. Old age, you don't have to be afraid of that. Death, you don't have to be afraid of that. Being broke, you don't have to be afraid of that. Why? Because He's in you. It says when fear is there, watch this, perfect love casts out fear, because where there's fear, there's torment. And we're going to see tonight that if we're walking in certain things, then we're actually walking in the flesh and not the full assurance of the revelation of the love of God in the Spirit. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. For, watch this, verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? In other words, when I was with you, when I heard your reports, you guys were all in. You were praising God and thanking Jesus for your freedom and thanking Jesus that His blood was enough. You were running well. What happened? What happened? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. In other words, the influence that you're listening to is not from God. And that's a good thing to keep in the back of our hearts and our minds. That listen, if I'm feeling pressured to perform, it's not from God. If you have people come, well, you know, you're right, but if you were as good as me, you'd be more right. It's raspberry time. Exactly. Because the only righteousness that I have or you have that we can even stand in is His. God loves me. I love this. God loves me the way I am, but He also loves me enough that He's working on the things that He wants me to get rid of. Not because I need to get rid of them to be right with Him. I need to get rid of them because they're killing me. They're causing me pain. And He wants me to be free from all of it. Look at this. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does that mean? It says, don't even swallow a bit of this flesh, your actions being leading you to righteousness. Don't not even take it a little bit. So in other words, yeah, I'm saved under grace, but I think I'll just go back under the law with this little bit. He says, no, that leavens the whole lump. It's bringing you into bondage. Don't do it. Don't do it. And we know that in the book of Acts, Paul went back to Jerusalem and said, listen, these people are trying to get the people that I've converted back into Judaism, and it's not from God. And Peter at that meeting rose up and said, yeah, I had that vision. You remember the vision I had? You remember that? Where the sheets came down and there was some unsanctified food and God told me to, you know, eat of it. And I was going, no, Lord, I'm not going to defile myself. And God says, don't you dare call unclean what I call clean. And that was a vision, a type of what he was saying about, if I say that the Gentiles by faith are saved and holy, who are you to say different? Right? I'm not going to go under that bondage. And a little bit of that will lead you to more of that. Glory to God. Verse 10, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Who's bewitched you? Who's troubled you? God's going to deal with him. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. In other words, I'm getting raked over the coals for this. Because I could bring you back under the law because I'm part of the law. I knew the law. I was there. And he says earlier, man, that I went through it. But Jesus delivered me from that. It doesn't mean that I don't keep the law of my ancestors, but that's not what makes me holy. You see, if you want to keep the Passover, if you want to keep that, that's great. That's awesome. If you want to remember why those things are, that's perfectly fine. Whatever you're convicted to do, but that doesn't make you right. That doesn't make you more holy. Jesus Christ is the only one that can deliver us into the hands of God. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. In other words, I've been made right, but that doesn't mean I can just go do anything I want to do. And we're going to see the difference between the things of the flesh and the things of the spirit. But I'm reading this whole chapter because I want to give the context of what he's about to say. Because what he's about to say is so powerful. But some are out there saying, well, you know, I live under grace, so I can just do whatever I want and I'll be in heaven. And I'm just going, I'm not quite sure that you got it. Because if you get it, you'll want to please the one who gave it to you. Right? So that's enough said about that. But watch this. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that amazing? You want to know the law? You want to know how to keep the law? Here it is. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because think about that. If the law was just the Ten Commandments, you go, well, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to curse them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to take his wife. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet what they have. Right? So it's all covered in that. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, I need to get to my subject, so let's go on. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Man, have we seen that happen? I had a dream the other night about certain people, and you know, it's like they were on one side and I was on another side, and it was a really weird dream, but we were fighting back and forth and we were going different places and the fighting was continuing and whatever. And then the Lord just spoke to me and said, you're fighting the wrong battle. They're not your enemy. The enemy of your faith has got you fighting one another so that neither of you can be at liberty. I said, okay, all right, I can do that. Now, here's we are, verse 16. And this particular verse, if we really take it to effect, we'll understand a lot more of how we should be living and how we should be walking. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have spirit and we have flesh. The things of the flesh, watch this, are always lustful. In other words, there's something that drives you to want more of the very thing that you're craving. But the things of the Spirit, they lead you to liberty because they're wrapped up in love. Watch this. And what, I read this for years that, okay, if I don't do this, if I don't smoke, if I don't cuss, if I don't chew or go with girls who do, then I'm going to be okay, right? But the reality is, and so I'm struggling to pray enough. I'm struggling to not do this, and I'm struggling not to do that, and I'm struggling after all of those things, and I'm frustrated, and I can't do it, and I'm a failure. But when I read this again, and the first part says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What does that mean? Quit worrying about the flesh and concentrate on being in the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The way that you do that is you worship Him. You believe what He said. You quote the Word of God. You begin to live by concentrating more on Him than the things of the world. And if you'll do that, the things of the world will go away. Let me just give you this analogy or this test. How many have really been in the Spirit where you're just worshiping God and you feel His presence, right? I mean, you're really in it. You're really in the Spirit, feeling it and lusting at the same time. You know, it normally doesn't happen. Why? Because you're so far into the Spirit that you're not thinking about those things. God's overwhelmed you with His presence, and His presence, those things fade away. I remember being at Bible school, and we were in Bible school. We were going to seminars at night. We were, you know, studying the Word 4 hours a day and at church on Sunday and all that. I didn't really think about sinning. Because I was too wrapped up in the Word. I was too wrapped up in the presence of God and seeking after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. Everything that you have to lust for from the flesh will be added to you because you're seeking His kingdom. So the answer to your habit is turning around and seeking the One who can break it. Glory to God. You take His Word, you take, you know, and you just begin to declare it over yourself. You begin to see yourself, you know, and all of that will fall off because you're walking in the Spirit, and then you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying, if you're addicted to something, what you need to take the steps that God leads you to take. But on the other hand, it's like, don't worry about the addiction. Turn around and start worshiping. Lord, just a minute, Lord, I'll be right back. I need a smoke. And so you go out and have a smoke. But even in the smoke, you praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And then you find a scripture that says, He's given me power over everything that would try to dominate me. And I just thank You, Lord. And pretty soon, that thing will be gone. Why? Because you're seeking after the Spirit. You're going after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So here's the deal. Whether you're in the Spirit or you're in the flesh, there's fruit that's produced by both of them. And if we can start to recognize the fruit, then we can adjust our attitudes to go after the other. Does that make sense? It says, now, again, the works, verse 19 or 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are these and are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if this is all you're wrapped up in, you're in trouble. But here's what we try to do. We try to say, well, you know, I understand I lie a little bit, but sister so-and-so is, you know, she's a heroin addict. So therefore, I'm not, I'm better than she is. And the reality is they're both lusts of the flesh. They're both fruits of living in the flesh. And our goal shouldn't be, I want to be a little bit better than Sister Susie over here. I want to be like him over here. See what I'm saying? So if you're in the spirit, you won't go after the lust of the flesh. But if you're in the flesh, there's probably envy going to happen, or maybe murder. It's a murder. I wouldn't murder anybody. Who do you hate? Jesus said if you hate somebody in your heart, you've already murdered them. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the earth. So there's some fruits here or some signs that you're living in the flesh. So if you're having trouble with fornication, adultery, what's the difference between fornication and adultery? Adultery is sex with somebody when you're outside of your marriage, right? So if somebody's married and you're committing, you're having sex with them, it's adultery. Well, what's fornication? It's sex when you're not married to the person that you're having sex with, right? God says that's fornication. And fornication can come in many different things. Fornication is not just the act, but it's the thought of the act. Anyway, let's not go there too far. Anyway, but we're not under that. We don't have to be bound by that. Let's go down to verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, everybody say the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. How many would like to walk in that rather than envy and bitterness and you know, sadness? Verse 23 lists gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, when you're walking in the Spirit, this is going to be the fruit that's produced. If you're walking under the influence of the flesh, there will always be lust for more of whatever that is. If you're envious of somebody, you'll grow more envious as time goes on. If you're bitter towards somebody and you don't repent of that bitterness, you'll become more bitter. Have you ever known a bitter person? And that bitter person just is miserable. Why is everybody always picking on me? Usually that's born out of bitterness that you haven't understood that that's just flesh. And if you'll walk in the Spirit and understand who you are in Christ Jesus, then you're not going to worry about what somebody else has done, what somebody else thinks, or what somebody else has. You're going to just begin to rejoice in what he's purchased for you. What's he purchased for you? Well, there's several things. One of the things that he's purchased for you, he said, listen, don't be discouraged. I go to my Father's house. And when I go to my Father's house, I'm coming against to you. In my Father's houses are many mansions or dwelling places. I've got a home in heaven that was purchased by his blood. So I don't care what house you live in. I don't care if it's on, you know, in the rich district or the poor district. None of it is going to compare to the home that I have in his presence, right? And so I'm going to start concentrating on that and what he's given to me rather than what I don't have that you seem to have. I want the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is mine because I am a spirit man who's recreated in the image and likeness of God. I've been born again. I'm now a child of the Most High God. Woo, glory to God. So I'm not going to allow myself to get in bondage to that other thing. Now stop right there, because listen to what you're giving up when you go and come into bondage of the flesh. It's just you're giving up peace, you're giving up joy, you're giving up gentleness, you're giving up all of these things to feed something that's going to kill you. Go to Colossians chapter 2. We won't go through all of these verses in Colossians, but we'll hit a couple of them. Colossians Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 2, it's really awesome, the whole thing. And again, I don't have time to go through the whole thing tonight in light of what we're talking about. But watch this, and we'll go through some. Verse 6 says, "And you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him." Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You've received Christ, walk in him. Walk in him. Walk in him. Rooted and built up in him, and have established in the faith that you've been taught, abounding in it with all thanksgiving. Glory to God, I'm in love with Jesus. He's in love with me. Hallelujah. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Anyone that's teaching you Jesus plus something is leading you away from the freedom that he's given you. Don't fall for it. In him you were circumcised with a circumcision not made without hands, but putting off of the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What does that mean? It means that you are marked because you're walking in line with the blood of Jesus, and you don't need any other marking in order to be called holy. Right? It's so, but if you need something else, then you're transferring yourself out of the Spirit and back into the flesh. Whew. It's not just about sin. It's about, you know, me being able to be right by doing what I'm doing. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, by the putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I was buried with him in baptism, which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Come on, that's who I am. I'm raised in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer trying to earn my way to heaven because I'm in him. I'm already there. In Ephesians, it says that I'm seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And me, right? Verse 13, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses." In other words, I don't have to go back into my flesh trying to justify my flesh or trying to live in the uncircumcision of my heart. I need to keep my identity in Christ. He's already made me alive. He's already wiped out, verse 14, the handwriting of requirements that was contrary against us, which is contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having it nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one, everybody say no one, judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. In other words, all of the things that were done before to try to make you right didn't do the job, but Jesus did. So don't go back and try to substitute those for the work of Christ. Again, I have nothing against, you know, doing Passover festivals and doing, I have nothing against any of that. But if I am saying that unless I'm doing that, then I'm less of a Christian than what somebody who's not doing that, then I come back under the bondage of keeping it all. So I'm going to walk in the Spirit rather than trying to get back into the flesh. Come on, come on. Watch this now. Let no one cheat you of your reward. I think that's good. Don't let the preacher on TV cheat you of your reward. Don't let the neighbor at the Bible study cheat you of your reward. Don't let somebody who's thinking that they're more holy than you cheat you of your reward. What's your reward? Joy, peace, love, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control. It's such there is no law. tomorrow because I'm walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding to those things which is he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together by the joints and the ligament, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as through the living, though living in the world, do you subject yourself to its regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern the things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrine of men. These things have indeed the appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the God of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And what's that all saying? It's saying this: the harder you try to be righteous, even after you've gotten saved, by doing this or keeping that, you'll go further and further and further into that to where it will actually lead you away from Christ. And I've seen it happen, but we don't want that to happen, right? We don't want that to happen. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. We've got a few more minutes. And let's look at this again. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. I don't want God to be up there going, Bruce, how come you're so stupid? I've set you free, and you're back in bondage. Come on. I want to stand fast in the liberty, right? I want to stand fast in that. Go back again, and we'll go over this one more time, and then we'll close. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. Come on. And gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So if you're not walking in these, it's a pretty good indicator that you're not walking in the Spirit. And that's not for condemnation. That's for an indicator, right? That's, oh. And then go before, Lord, where is it that I've gotten off into the worldly things? Where have I gotten off of being in the Spirit? Lord, let me get away from that and get back into the place where I'm walking in the Spirit. Because the fruit of walking in the Spirit is this. This is a great indicator. And man, we have a fight on our hands, right? I mean, I struggle with it. You struggle with it. But it doesn't take away from the fact that if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I will not walk in the flesh because I have no part in the flesh because Jesus has set me free from it. So I need the love, I need the joy, I need the peace, I need the long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I need all of those things. And if I don't have those things, it means that I'm walking not in the Spirit, but I'm back under the bondage of trying to prove my worth by what I do. I mean, even, come on, self, a low self-esteem, quote unquote, is the subject that I can't do enough to be worthy enough. If I was only like this person, if I was only like that person, if I was only like, then I would be whatever. And that's just a lie that the enemy's trying to get you to get back into the fact that my worth is based on what I do. The reality is the only worth that I have, and it's great worth, is because I'm in the one who's worthy of all honor and glory. It's in him. It's in him I live and I move and I have my being. I get my worth from him. I get my peace from him. Glory to God. Even tonight, it's like there are some things that come against you and you just go, oh, God. Have you ever thought, Lord, just take me out of here. I want to come home, Lord. It's not that I want to kill myself or anything like that, but Lord, it's getting kind of weird down here. You know, it's kind of getting weird. But you see, there again, you're back in a place you need to get back out of. Say, Lord, it's not weird down here because I'm with you. I'm safe in you, Lord. It doesn't matter if they come and throw us in prison. It doesn't matter, Lord, because I'm with you. It doesn't matter if gas prices go to $25 a gallon. Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And you know, there may come a day where I won't go as many times, but that doesn't matter. I'm with you, Lord. As long as I have you, God, everything is okay. It's in you that I live and I move and I have my being. And you love me, right, Lord? You love me, right? Yes, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Every time, now I mean every time, I go before God and I'm speaking to him and I'm saying, but God, I messed this up and I messed that up and these people are saying this and those people are saying that, and God, have I really, really, really messed this so much up? God, I wouldn't blame you for blaming me. I wouldn't blame you for throwing me aside. I wouldn't blame you. And if I get quiet enough, he'll say, I love you. I love you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not disappointed in you. Because I see you through the purchase price of my son. And in him, you have love, you have joy, you have peace, gentleness, kindness. It's all yours in him. Amen? Amen. So I'm not going to live in the flesh anymore, but I'm going to pursue the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, that it's by your Spirit that you're here. I thank you even for the utterance that you've given me, God. It's only because of your anointing. You're so gracious and you're so kind. I ask you, Lord, just to fill every person's heart who's listening to this message, God, with an assurance of your love. And Father, lead them by your word to a full assurance of faith of your promises in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for coming and joining. Amen.